the kids, enrolling your kids in Maranatha Christian School, and they had a, wanted to know what, you know, what was going on, how we felt about it. We would like, to recommend the school. You'd enjoy it. There's sometimes hindrances when your kids are in a Christian school, but the blessings and the benefits far outweigh the hindrances. And so if you'd like to see about getting your child put in Maranatha Christian School, you just get in touch, let me know, and get in touch with Brother Dean Silver, and they'll be glad to help you out. I believe it's important that our kids are raised in a Christian school. Of course, the most important thing is at home, but you have an extra benefit in a Christian school. Some of you asked about that, and I thought some more may be interested in it. If we can help you, you just let us know. Galatians chapter number 4. This is ringing just a little bit, Brian. Galatians chapter number 4. I want to begin reading with verse 1. Galatians chapter 4 and verse 1. Now I say that the heir, as long as he is a child, differeth nothing from a servant, though he be lord of all, but is under tutors and governors until the time appointed of the father. That's earthly father. Man's our heir. He's just like a servant until he's under tutors and governors until the time appointed by his daddy. Verse 3, even so we, when we were children, were in bondage under the elements of the world. But when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. And because ye are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. That word Abba there is not before a rock group tried to name their band, like, you know, part akin to that word. The word Abba is a Syriac Hebrew word found three times in the Bible. And it's like the word, our word, daddy or father. It's here, and it's over in, I believe it's in Romans chapter 8 and somewhere in Mark 14. And then here, three times, the word Abba, Father. Verse 7, wherefore thou art no more a servant, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. I want to preach to you a message this morning about our heavenly Father. Let's bow our heads while we pray. Our Father in heaven, we thank you, Lord, for this day. Thank you, Lord, that you are our Father. We are your children. Lord, there don't have to be a fatherless person in this room this morning. You can be all men's father if they'll allow you. And I pray this morning, Lord, that you'd move out of our hearts and our lives any hindrance, Lord, from flesh or spirit, God, that would hinder us from preaching, from hinder us from speaking, from hinder us from being a blessing to these people this morning. We pray, our Father, that you'd wash us in the blood, cleanse us from the filth of this world. Help us, Lord, to be a mouthpiece for Jesus. And God, I pray the Holy Spirit may use these words, God, that come from these lips of clay, to bring conviction on the hearts of the sinners and bring blessing and comfort and encouragement to the child of God. We'll praise you and thank you for it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I want to preach to you this morning, being Father's Day, on our heavenly Father. You know, it's a wonderful thing to think of our fathers. There's no one quite like them, I don't guess. A man's daddy, if his earthly daddy is living, no doubt, in most cases, his best friend on earth is his dad. When all his other friends would turn him down, despise him, and maybe turn him a cold shoulder, daddy seldom will do that. But you know how much more blessed it is to think this morning about our heavenly Father. A lot of times we sing these songs, and we play what we call the Lord's Prayer, our Father which art in heaven. We sing to our bountiful Father above, but has it ever dawned on you since you've been saved
that God in heaven, God that created the earth, the planets, and the moon, the stars, that that same God is your Father? Has that ever dawned on you that you are His child and that God is your Father? You know, the Bible said, call no man on earth your father in respect of a religion, in a religious aspect. Now, I have an earthly daddy. I have an earthly father this morning, but I also have a heavenly father. Now, I'd like to take this morning by way of comparison and compare a good earthly father to the benefits and blessings we have through and from our Heavenly Father. In honor of our Heavenly Father and our earthly dads, I want to do that, some present some comparisons between a good father and God, our Heavenly Father. Did you ever notice that the first word a kid says when they grow, start talking is daddy or mommy? Usually the first word, now I know some of them say different things, but most children, the first words they learn how to say is dada and mama. And you know, a first word a Christian needs to learn how to say, when you first get saved, first one word you learn is God or the church. You say, boy, I started going to church, or I met God. Now the church, the New Jerusalem, is in a type picture, maybe your mother, so to speak, and his mother and daddy. Then you learn how to talk, Abba, Father. Now, the word Father is attributed to God in a fourfold way in the Bible. There's four ways that God is called a Father in the Bible, and I'm going to preach to you this morning on the fourth one. The first one, He is the eternal Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. That's one aspect of God in heaven being Father, John chapter 1. The second one is that God is the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort. In other words, God is the Father of everything that's good, mercies, gentleness, peace and joy and happiness. He is the Father or Creator of all of those things. Now, and that's in 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 3. Thirdly, He is the Father of Adam, and in that respect, all of Adam's offspring in respect to creation. Now, what I mean by this is, God is the Father of all mankind in respect of being created. Now, don't make sure you get that last part on there, in respect to creation. That's over in Malachi chapter 2 and verse number 10. The Bible said, have we not all one Father, Father of the Jewish nation? Now, God is the Father of all mankind simply because He created them. God is not the Father of all mankind as far as saving them and taking them to heaven. There's no such thing in the Bible as the fatherhood of God and the brotherhood of man. You hear a lot about. But fourthly, God is Father, especially Father, of those who have been regenerated by the Holy Ghost, born again, the family of God. It's that fourth aspect of God being Father that we're going to look at today by the help of God. You may not have a daddy alive today, but you can have a Heavenly Father that'll never die. You may not have a daddy that can help you in your problems this morning, but you can have a Heavenly Father that can help you with any problem you'll ever have faced, ever will face, no matter how big or how small it is. Now, I want you to think with me a minute. The Bible uses a lot of comparison. I want to compare a good earthly daddy to our Heavenly Father. Now, I'm talking about our Heavenly Father, but I want to compare Him to a good earthly father. Now, there's a lot of faults that a good earthly daddy has, and I'll not mention those. There's a lot of good qualities an earthly daddy has, and I want to take them and compare them, how a daddy works with his children, how God works with us, okay? First of all, a father gives being to his children and brings them into the world. Children come from their daddy. The Bible said that Jacob begot the 12, the patriarchs. And the Bible said over in the book of Acts chapter 7 that the man was some in his father's loins. A man gets his being from his daddy. The woman gives birth to the child. She's the incubator that keeps them warm for 9 months. But actually the seed comes from the father. So a father gives being to his children. And I want to say this morning that our Father in heaven gave birth and being to us. Do you know that? The Bible said in him we live and move and have our being. By his own will begot he us by the word of truth. James chapter 1 verse 18. The Bible said he has begotten us with a lively hope in the book of 1 Peter. So God gave you your spiritual being. He's a good father because he gave you spiritual being. When you come to the altar and got saved, you didn't have anything but physical being. When God made you his child, he gave you spiritual being. But number two this morning, the second compassion is that a father makes provision for the nourishment of his children. The Bible said over there, if a man should ask his daddy for a bread or a piece of bread, he won't give him a stone. If you ask him for a piece of fish, he ain't going to give him a stinger or a scorpion or a cockatrice. He makes provision for the nourishment of his children. If a man's a good daddy, he'll go out and get him a job. And he'll work and work and work and buy the groceries and put the food on the table so the kids can eat it, right? I remember when I was little, I never went out and made a dime and bought groceries for our family. My daddy went out and worked and bought the food in. Mom set it on the table. That's a good type there. Isn't that a blessing? Boy, if you're thinking spiritual this morning, you can about shout on that. Daddy goes out, makes a living, buys the bread. Mama sets it on the table, and the kids come in and eat it. And brother, let's assure us that this morning, God our Father has provided nourishment for us. The Bible said in 1 Peter 2:2 that we are to desire the sincere milk of the Word that we may grow thereby. I'm glad God didn't just save us and say, all right, make it the best way you can. I'll see you later when you get to heaven one of these days. No, sir. He said, I'll stay with you and I'm going to give you a book. And you're going to read that book and get together, and it's going to feed you just like a little child taking milk from the bottle. He provides nourishment for his children. But number three, a father clothes his children. He buys them clothes. I remember an old father over in Genesis 32 named Jacob who made his son Joseph a coat. And he made that coat for Joseph. And he said, come here, boy. And he put him on there and said, turn around here. Is the sleeves too long? Is it whoop-side it on one side? And he got it all straightened out. A father clothed his children. And did you know this morning, when you're small, you know who, if you got a good daddy, you know who bought you your clothes you wore on your back? It was Dad. That's who it was. And I'm so thankful to compare that to our Heavenly Father this morning. Ain't you? I could spend a long time on all of these, but I got a bunch more to get to, so I'm going to have to hurry. I'm glad this morning that our Heavenly Father provides us with clothing. When I come to the altar, and the night I got saved, I was naked in my own self-righteousness. I was without. And if I'd have stood before God right then that day, I'd have been unclothed. But when God saves a man, he puts a new garment on him. And it's called the cloak or the garment of salvation. He clothes you with a robe of righteousness. And God puts clothes on you this morning. The minute you get saved, God puts a cloak of righteousness on you. Did you know this morning, if you're a Christian, that your flesh, your hands, your eyes, your mouth, your legs, your feet, is no better, not one bit better than it was the day before you got saved. No better. Now the reason God looks at you this morning and smiles and has pleasure is because when you got saved, he put a robe of righteousness on you. And it's called the righteousness of Christ. And when God sees us this morning, he no longer sees us in our own filth of our flesh. You ought to thank God for that. That's how come the devil will get on you sometimes. You know that?
The devil say, my goodness, you dirty, low-down thing. You ain't got no business going to church. As sinful as you are, look at all them bad thoughts you thought this week. Look at all them old wicked things you done. Why, you don't even need to be in church. You're a hypocrite. And all this stuff, you just remember one thing. God don't see you through your flesh. God sees you clothed in the righteousness of His Son, Jesus Christ. That don't give us an excuse to live like the devil and get spots on our robe. Well, I want you to know, brother, we don't have any good righteousness. We don't have, you know, some people think that God's pleased with them because they're living as good as they think they should live. You know what the Bible said? All our righteousness are as filthy rags. That you come into church when you got saved that night or that morning, when you walked in here or wherever you got saved, you had on old filthy, nasty, putrefying rags. And them old rags had old, you had sores all over your body, spiritually speaking, and them clothes stuck to the old junk running out of them sores, and you were just sickening in the sight of God. But when He saved you, He pulled out a brand new white, spotless robe, put it on you, and now he said, though you soon be as scarlet, they'll be as white as wool, and He puts a brand new garment on you. And when the Lord looks at me this morning, He don't see old Danny, because old Danny ain't fit to shoot. That's how come y'all have a problem with me sometimes. You're looking at me. But when God sees me, He looks at me through the righteousness of His Son, because I've got faith in Jesus. And brother, He's my Heavenly Father because of it. Not only that, number four. If a man's got a kid and he's a good father, did you know a father dearly loves and greatly pities his children if they are sick or in any trouble? He's concerned, especially about kids who are weak. Example, say a man's got five kids. He's the father of all five of them. Now, four of them are in perfect health. But one of them has a bad disease or is real weak and is in the hospital. Now, if he's off working or he's on his job, you know who his mind, he loves all those five kids the same, right? But his mind's going to be more drawn to that one who's sick and in trouble. If you're out here working on your job and one of your kids is sick, your mind naturally is going to be on that one that's sick more than it is the one who's not sick. It don't mean you love that one any more than you love that one. It's just that they're sick and you're concerned about them. And, you know, when I thought about that, I thought about glory to God. If God is a great father, which He is, and if an earthly father will be more concerned about one of His children who is sick or weak, don't you know that God Almighty in heaven is deeply concerned when one of you or me or one of us this morning are having it rough or sick spiritually or having a rough time? Yes, sir, brother, He's concerned about us. Now, you know something? We got some people here, I guess every church has, who are a little sick spiritually. We got people that are not here this morning that ought to be here. And the reason they're not here is because, not that they're sick physically, they're fine physically, but they're sick spiritually. They've allowed sin to come in their life. And a lot of times we look down on them. We say, well, that low down thing, they ought to straighten up and fly right. But you know what? God's heart, that's one of God's children. He's their father. And His heart is breaking. And He's concerned about that child, just like me and you would be. When a man backslides, God feels just about him, just like we would one of our kids with pneumonia. It bothers us. We're concerned about it. The Lord don't say, well, you're over there sinning, bam, and kick them worse. He wants to help. One of the big things that we've allowed people to see these days, it is not true, is that when you get out there and sin, the Lord's getting ready to knock your head off the first thing. I want you to know something this morning, friend. The Bible says as a father pitieth his children, so God pities those that fear Him. God is a God of wrath, and He will knock your block off if you don't straighten up before long. But first and foremost, He's a God of love, and He cares. And He cares when your heart's broken. He knows if you're having a difficult time, financial problems,
physical problems, mental problems, spiritual problems. The Lord looks down and He sees what you're going through. And brother, He's ready and willing to give you special help. He's ready to help you. The Bible said, comfort the feeble-minded, support the weak, gather the lambs with His arm and carry them in His bosom. Isaiah 40 and verse 11. Let me say that again. Over in Isaiah 40, the Bible said He'll gather them lambs under His arms and carry them. That's a blessing to me. You know, you remember that story about that man that had that dream? You saw it in the bookstores. Well, this guy's walking on the beach, and he sees one. He looks back, and he sees just one set of footprints. And he says, Lord, I thought You was always going to be with me. I come right back there for a long way when I was having it rough. I look back now and I only see one set of footprints. And God said, that's right, you only see one. The reason you only see one, because then I was carrying you. God didn't leave you. He was carrying you. I want to tell you something, folks. There has been times since I've been saved that I could not go on by myself. I couldn't. My strength is gone. I've done everything I could do and couldn't do no more. And then one day, about a month later, I looked back and I thought, well, what happened to that big valley I was in? And it dawned on me that my Heavenly Father had picked me up and carried me over them rough spots. Brother, that's a father. You know that? Your earthly father may be dead and gone. What a father you can have this morning if God's your father. Picks up those lambs and carries them in his arms. Right quickly, number five, a father protects his children from harm if they'll let him, and takes their part against their enemies. Do you know that? You don't believe it? When we go out of church this morning, you let an old bully come across the street and grab my little girl by the hair of the head, start dragging her across the street. You know what I'd do? I don't know what I'd do, but I'd do something. I wouldn't just stand there. I really would. I'd grab me something. I'd use my Bible, hit him over the head. I'd do something. I'd kick, I'd bite, I'd stick my fingers in his eyes. I'd do whatever I could to get my daughter away from him. Brother, ain't you glad this morning that God protects us? Hey, I don't know if y'all realize this or not, but church ain't as nice and sweet and popular as it used to be. There's people in this world that would close this building down this morning. There are people in the United States that would put this thing out of business, turn these lights out, close these doors, and just fix it. Well, we couldn't have church. Why do we get to keep having church every Sunday? Our Father's providing it for us. He's keeping the hounds of hell off this place, so we can have service and have worship. He's protecting us every day of our life. I remember one time I had my old van and I took it down to Rob. And I said, Rob, there's something out of this thing. It's making a noise. And it had been doing that for a long time. And it was I think it was universal joint or something like that. He said, it's a wonder that thing ain't got you killed 100 times. And I thought about that. And I thought about them tires I rode around on that was slick as glass, and how things could have fell apart. And just my ignorance, the Lord was taking care of me. He kept me out of car wrecks and everything else simply because I was His child. Amen, brother. I'm glad of that this morning. You know, if a man's got a foolish son, he still keeps him out of a lot of trouble. If you let him go on his foolish way, he'd get himself killed a lot of times. But the Father protects him. And I'm glad this morning that the Lord protects us. The Bible said, listen to these verses. He suffered no man to do them wrong. He reproved kings for their sake, saying, touch not my anointed, and do my prophets no harm. I'm glad He protects us. But then, not only that, number six, right quickly, a father delights in his children learning to speak. Did you know that? It just tickles a daddy when his kids first learn how to speak. All you fathers up here a while ago, you remember when you came home that evening and your wife said, come here, honey, come here, come here. And she got little Junior up and set him on the table and said, now say it for Daddy. Say it for Daddy. He'd look around, say it for Daddy. And finally you heard him say, boom, boom. And she said, see there, he can say encyclopedia.
I think some women, they want to hear their kid talk so bad, I believe they lie. They're bound to be.
I've been in church, and I've been in houses, and they'll put a little old kid up there, and ain't that long. Sit up there and say, now say Bible for Brother Danny. And the kid go, blah, blah, blah. Say, did you hear him? Did you hear him? Puts me on the spot. You know, I have to lie and say, yeah, he really can talk.
He didn't say nothing. She just thought he did.
But did you know when that daddy hears that little kid start mumbling,
slobber running down his face? To me and you, we think, good night, he ain't saying nothing. But that brings joy to the heart of that daddy.
Even though those stammering, stuttering lips, it thrills the heart of the father when the kids learn how to talk.
And brother, it thrills our heavenly father's heart when we learn how to pray. Do you know that?
You really want to thrill the heart of God. You want to be a blessing to the Lord.
Learn how to pray.
I can see the Lord as he looks down. A man ain't been saved in 2 or 3 weeks. And a man comes to the altar. And he don't know what to say. He says, thank you, God. You ever heard a new convert pray? Boy, that's a blessing just to hear. And they ain't got it all fixed up and trimmed up like we have. You know, God don't know how to. But our heart ain't even in it. They're saying, oh, Lord, I just want to thank you, Lord. And to us, that don't sound like much. But God looks down and he sees them. And even though they're stammering, stuttering lips, even though their words may not come out just right, it delights the heart of God when his children learn how to pray. There's a good verse over in Isaiah 38, though they chatter like a crane, the Lord won't despise them. Isaiah 38:14. The Bible said the Spirit helps our infirmities. We don't know how to pray as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us according to the will of God. Right quickly. Number 7. A good father poses himself. Now, all you daddies take a lesson in this. A good daddy poses himself as a good example and exhorts them to imitate. If you have to sneak around and do stuff, there may be something wrong in your life. A good daddy sets himself forth as an example for his kids. Let me say it this. Daddies, don't do nothing you wouldn't want your sons doing. How's that? Don't do nothing you wouldn't want to see your boy doing. You say, well, my goodness, I do a few little old things and I don't really think it's all that bad, but if I seen my son, I'd knock his block off. Well, that's how God feels about you doing it. Don't do it if you don't want your boy doing it. A father sets himself up as a good example and then says, follow me, son. He don't sit around and drink beer and say, shoo, son, don't you ever taste this old stuff. It ain't no good. Shoo. Bad old medicine. You ever heard a man tell them boys that liquor's medicine? Papa has to take his own medicine. Little old boy sitting there looking up at him. That ain't much of an example. There's a lot of them does that. That little old boy sitting there saying, yeah, medicine my foot. You ain't got him fooled. I want you to know a father wants to set a good example for his children. Boy, you know what? We've got a Heavenly Father that you talk about setting an example, son. He can set one. No fault do you find in his life. He said, be merciful as I am merciful. He said, be holy as I am holy. He said, be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father in heaven is perfect. What an example our Heavenly Father has set for us. And I'll tell you something else. A father kind of delights most. A father's got 5 kids. You know who delights most in? The one that's most like him. Yeah, everybody says old Johnny looks just like me. He's a chip off the old block. You know who his favorite son's going to be? Johnny. He's got 5 sons, one of them named Johnny, and Johnny looks just like him, and the other one looks just like their mother. You know who the favorite son's going to be? The one that looks like him, acts like him, talks like him. He's going to be tickled with that, son. And you know that's a spiritual application. You know who God delights most in? Those children who are most like Him. You want God to be pleased with you? Live like God. You want God to be look down on your life and bless you? Listen, you know what Christian's problem is? I'll tell you right now what most Christian's problem is. Most of you sitting in here right now, I can tell you what your problem is. Your problem is looking at your brothers and sisters and saying, well, they do this, I'm going to do it. Well, they don't do that, I ain't going to do that. Well, just forget about that. You're not supposed to measure yourself by each other. You're supposed to say, get in this book and say, the Lord done this. He set me an example. I'm going to follow Him. Don't matter what the other brothers and sisters do. You'll never get nowhere doing what somebody else does. Because I witness somebody else. You're supposed to witness because God told you to do it. And you'll be happier if you do what God says. Father delights in those that are most like Him. Number eight. A father takes care to educate his children and instruct them in all points of manners and behavior toward their friends and toward their enemies, inferiors and superiors. You know what that means? He teaches you how to act and treat people. He'll say, now son, don't you go out here thinking you're better than people. But don't go out there thinking they're better than you. You're all the same. He'll say, son, treat your enemies right. Just because somebody does you wrong, don't mean you have to do them wrong. Love your enemies. Pray for them that despitefully use you. If a man's a good father, that's the way he'll talk to his children. And did you know our Heavenly Father done that? Nobody teach like the Heavenly Father. Brother, He said, I'll teach you, saith the Lord. In whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge, Colossians 1 said. And our Father told us, He said, if a man smites you on one cheek, turn the other cheek. Love your enemies. Do good to them. Pray for them which despitefully use you. And He taught us how to act. But number 9, right quickly, fathers take care and are mindful of their children's welfare, even at a great distance. Do you know that? If a man has a boy in the war in Vietnam, or if you have a child this morning and they are in California in the hospital, you are going to be concerned about that child. 3,000 miles between you makes no difference whatsoever. At a great distance, if we had people here visiting from Michigan this morning, they'll get to know us and know our problem and say, boy, I'm really burdened about it. But after they go back to Michigan, they forget about it. But if your child is in Michigan in a hospital, your mind, even though you're 700 miles away, your mind's going to be on that child. You're going to be burdened. You're going to be caring about that child. And did you know distance makes no difference to our Heavenly Father? He's sitting on the throne some many, many million light years away from here. But He's also in our hearts by faith. And He loves us and is concerned about our welfare regardless of the distance between us. Number 10, a real good father is grieved if his children are wicked, rebellious. You know that? It grieves the heart of a good daddy when his children rebel and go into sin. And he calls them back and gently calls them back. If they don't straighten up, then he gets him a rod and whips them if he's a good daddy. You know that? Say a man's a good daddy. He's a good. And he's out here and he catches him lying. First time maybe he picks him in here and he says, son, you know that's wrong to lie, don't you? He says, yeah. But daddy, there ain't no buts about it, son.
You know it's wrong, right? Finally, a little boy's missing. He said, "Now, son, don't you do that no more. Daddy's not mad at you. If you do that one more time, I'm going to have to whip." About 2 days later, he catches that little boy in another lie. He called him in and said, "Son, what Daddy tell you he's going to have to do?" And he'll try to wiggle out of it and say he didn't say what he said and he didn't mean it and everything else. He'll bend him over and say, "All right, son." And he gets out his rod. Have you ever heard him say, just like on TV, you know, "This is going to hurt me more than it hurts you." You got a hard time convincing the kid of that. You know what? "Yeah, boy, you hypocrite. You stand up there with a big baseball bat getting ready to knock me off my feet saying it's going to hurt you. How's it going to hurt you?" You'll never understand that till you become dead. It does. Sometimes the Lord will speak to me and say, "You better whip that girl." And I don't want him. I don't want to. I dread to hear all that crying and screaming and all that stuff. And sometimes I just let it go and I do wrong. You sin when you let your kids get by with rebelling. It's a sin before you let them get by in that business. Oh, they say, "Oh, don't be such a brute and be mean to them." It's a sin not to whip them. And if you don't chasten those kids, you are not a good daddy. Really, you're not. You're doing those kids a great harm because they're going to think, when they grow up, they're going to think, "Well, we got by what one, 2 weeks, back talk daddy. We can back talk our school teachers. We can back talk the law. We don't have to go to jail." Listen, it ain't like that when you get out there in the world, friend. You will wind up in jail. And it'll be daddy's fault because he didn't discipline you. And you don't have to worry about the Heavenly Father doing that. The Bible said he chastens every son whom he receiveth. You know what? If you get out of line, God will say, "Get back in line, man." If you get out of line this morning, if you're a Christian, I tell you what the Lord will do. First thing you'll do, he'll send you a message. "Preacher, come over to your house." "Well, you've been a little slack there, ain't you, Roy? Maybe you need to get back to church." And that's the way he'll just say, "No, you come on. I'm going to warn you." Then, if you don't straighten up and you still go on in sin, he'll say, "I hate to do it, but he's going to have a witness." And there'll be something happen. Something will come in your life that is God whipping you. Have you ever had something happen to you and you knew it? There's no doubt in your mind God was whipping you. You knew it was God whipping you. And it makes you feel good in a way because you know he's your father and you're his child. But it makes you feel bad in a way because you're ashamed of yourself and the way you've lived and had to have God to get out of his rod. Brother, I want you to know if you're one of God's children, the Heavenly Father will whip you. We got people that are members of this church out living in sin this morning. You think they're going to get by with that? God's going to whip them if they're saved. Now, if they ain't saved, they're really in a mess. But if they are saved, God will whip them. Mark it down. God will whip them. Brother, they'll have to come back a crying. But I'm glad, like a good father, he's willing to receive us after he whips us and forget all about it and not hold it against us. Finally, the last one, number 11. A good father provides a portion for his children and lays it up for them. You know that? Man's a good daddy. He'll work all his life. He'll have a farm, some crops, a few acres of land. And he'll say, "Now, son, this is all going to you. I've laid it up for you. I've got it in my will." And did you know our Heavenly Father has done just that? He's laid up some stuff in heaven for us. The Bible said that we are laid up for them that fear thee. The Lord has laid up treasures in heaven for us because he's our Father and we're his children.
Now, if you're here this morning and things ain't right between you and your Heavenly Father, you ought to get on this altar and get them right. If you're here this morning and you ain't been praying, you haven't been eating the food that your Heavenly Father's been giving you, you've been feeding off the devil's candy, you've been leading the filthy books, watching the dirty movies, all of them kind of things, you need to get on this altar and get back in touch and relation with your Heavenly Father in the right way. If you're here this morning, your life's not what it ought to be, you need to get it right on this altar this morning so that you and your Heavenly Father can have that close relationship that God wants every one of His children to have with Him. You have it this morning. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Every head bowed and every eye closed. I'm asking them to come and get us a verse of a song. God's speaking to your heart this morning. Maybe some of you daddies, it's here today. And God spoke to your heart. The Lord's dealing with you, and you ain't been the daddy you ought to be. Maybe while we sing in just a moment, maybe while we have this invitation, God may be speaking to your heart. You want to turn from them old wicked, ungodly sins you've been committing and get on this altar. Get it right with God. Father, I'm so glad this morning that we can call you our Heavenly Father. Lord, I don't believe it ever really dawned on me just till yesterday evening, last night, all that I have just because you're my Father. Lord, I know I'm sometimes ashamed to admit it. I don't want to bring reproach on your name. But I read in your word where you wasn't ashamed to be called our God. Lord, if you're not ashamed to be called our Father, we're sure not ashamed to be called your children. It's an honor. It's a privilege for us to be accounted children of God. Father, there may be someone here this morning who don't know you as Father. Their father is still the devil. They're in sin. I pray you'd speak to that heart this morning. Bring conviction of sins on that life. And Lord, I pray that you'd help them to get their life right with you before they leave this morning. There may be a daddy here this morning who hadn't been the father he ought to be to his children. The husband he ought to be to his wife. He wants to come and get his sins forgiven on this altar this morning. Lord, I know, God. I thank you for this group of dads that was up here a while ago, and I pray you'd move on them right now. Do what needs to be done in this invitation. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's stand and sing.